Right, welcome to episode 20 of the Tag Teamers podcast. For this episode, we're just going to be going over all of our predictions for each SummerSlam match. We're going to be doing them confidence point style. Do you want to explain what that is?
Yeah, so there's seven matches on the card. So each match gets a unique confidence point. Seven being your most confident, one being your least confident, and we just work our way down.
All right. So what match do you want to hit first?
Yeah, so we'll start with Rhea Ripley challenging Liv Morgan for the Women's Championship.
Who you got? Yes. Yeah, so I have this as my seven. I have Liv Morgan as my seven. What do you have?
I have Liv at four. I'm pretty confident, though. I think now's the time Dom officially turns. And I hope the turn is a stamp on the story. I hope it's not an accidental help Liv win. I hope it is very clear that he is moving in the direction with Liv going forward, and it's a heartbreak for Rhea.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what we're both expecting, which is why we're picking Liv. We do not think Rhea is going to be getting her title back just yet, and we think this is pretty much going to be a big shakeup for the Judgment Day and what that looks like going forward after this weekend. And this match is going to have a lot to do with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if Dom screws Rhea, you know, like, I'm hoping at the top of the stage we get something like Liv and Dom make out while Rhea's, you know, sitting there watching from the ring or something. You know, like, I want it to be very clear they're together. I want it to be very clear Rhea's going to be a face moving forward. And I don't think, you know, Rhea's first match back, she has any business winning the title.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Let's talk about Bron Breakker challenging Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. Who you got and where?
I got Bron, and I've got him as my two. I wouldn't say for any of these matches that I feel, like, completely clueless. Like, I feel pretty decent about picking Bron, but just because I feel really good about the ones above him, I've got him as my two. Don't think he's going to be losing to Sami Zayn twice. I think, like we said on our Raw reactions, we could see this being somewhat of a squash match. Like, Braun is just a, you know, angry man possessed, but was able to learn enough over the past month not to let that get the best of him, and he's able to kind of just use the aggression to his advantage without it costing him.
Yeah, definitely. I have Braun at five. I think it would kill everything Braun is if he loses again to Sammy. I think this would just kill all momentum. And honestly, you could close the book on his career already if he loses again. I think it makes sense for both guys involved. I think it's time for Sammy to get out of the Intercontinental title picture. And I think it's time for Braun to carry the gold already. So I would be very, very surprised if Sammy pulled off a win here. And I think it's very exciting to get Braun as Intercontinental Champion, and I hope he does squash Sammy.
Yeah, I think it's time for that. And I was actually thinking about what it would look like if he were to lose twice in a row. And I actually don't think it would be as catastrophic as you do, but it's just not the move. That's not the move. It makes sense for Braun to win the international. Sorry, not international. This is WWE Intercontinental title. I guess we'll get Sammy and Jey Uso in a tag team after that.
Yeah, seems to be the direction there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Unfortunately, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure who Braun's first challenger will be, but I'm hoping he just goes on a rampage and just starts wrecking everyone, you know, with the Intercontinental title on the line.
Yeah, see that, and I hadn't even thought about that. That will be interesting because we've just seen Braun going at Sammy for the past month, and honestly, a little bit over it. But it will be nice to see him in a fresh new position as champion, and people coming to challenge him. And you can only imagine his character, like the cockiness of him, and everything is only going to get even more over the top once he has some gold to back it up with.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they might just run Dragon off first, you know, especially because the next PLE's in Berlin. But, yeah, I mean, as long as Braun's champ, I think we're going to get some good matches and good story. And I'm excited to see what comes with him. What about...
Man, I'm sorry, sorry, go ahead.
No, no, you go ahead.
I was going to say, poor Dragunov, like, if he has to go, he comes back and he loses to Braun as a challenger again, which I'm sure he would. Mm-hmm. What a just rough run for him. Just like his career in reality. Like, that's just tough, man. You know, he's just been kind of like a... just been using him to make other people look, to make Braun look good, basically. And then, you know, he has him like carted out of the arena and then come back and lose to him again. If that happens, that's just tough. That's tough for him. That's going to be a hole he's going to have to dig himself out of. And it's going to take a little bit.
Yeah. Essentially, Dragunov has just been Braun's punching bag. But,
yeah.
You know, so like that'll kind of suck for him, but it's good for Braun, you know? And I think I would like to see Braun, you know, just make everybody his punching bag, not just one person or two people, you know. Like I like how, you know, the first few weeks he was kind of just taking everybody out that he could. That's what I want to see Braun get back to.
Yep.
Let's talk Nia Jax challenging Bayley for the women's championship. Who you got?
I have Nia as my four. What about you?
I've got Nia at two. I was fairly confident until the latest episode of SmackDown. Just her beating Bayley in the ring, like it kind of, like she just pinned her. It kind of made me think maybe Bayley's gonna win, just because Nia pinning her twice within the span of, you know, 8 days seems a little far fetched to me. But that's why I have her so low. But I do think Nia's earned it. I think she's been great, especially since the Royal Rumble. She's had a great run since she's been back, and I think now's the time. And, you know, we talked about it before, but I want to see her as champ and Tiffany, you know, threatening the cash in and the briefcase just looming over her shoulder.
Yeah, my logic is just I'm sticking with the, you know, like I mentioned from our SmackDown reactions this past weekend, just the idea of Tiffany helps Nia win, and as a thank you, Nia gifts her with a new briefcase, and then we kind of get that dynamic going forward after that.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, that would make sense. And honestly, I think Bayley's title run has kind of been a dud, so, you know, it makes sense for all parties to do the switch here.
Yep.
Next, let's go to Logan Paul defending the United States Championship against LA Knight. Who you got?
I have LA Knight as my three. You?
I got him at six. I feel very confident in this. Now's the time, and we need to get the title off of Logan Paul.
Yeah, I just don't feel... I mean, again, I feel pretty good about it, but I don't feel as confident as you, because I think it may be one of those things where, you know, like you think that so obviously should happen, but I'm just not so sure that the WWE will do it or wants to do it. But with that being said, I mean, I picked LA Knight. I think it's his time. I agree. It's time to get the belt off of Logan Paul. He's had it for long enough, but that's almost kind of why I don't have it higher. It's just, he's had it for so long. Who knows how long the WWE may want him to run with it. But again, I picked LA Knight, so.
Yeah, I mean, Logan's now officially the third longest reigning United States champion of all time. So he has had it for quite some time, but that's part of the reason why I'm so confident in LA Knight. I mean, he's so over. You know, we need to get some gold on him. You know, his whole main roster run, he hasn't gotten any championships. I think now's the time, and I think Logan, you know, the advertisement was cool at first, you know, bringing the U.S. title everywhere, but now it's kind of, you know, it's taken away from the product, and I don't think that's good for anybody on SmackDown. So LA Knight, yeah, it's just his time, and I feel pretty confident it's going to happen now, because they've been building this match for a couple months now. I mean, we don't want to see LA Knight chasing Logan for, you know, several PLEs. I think it'd be a momentum killer for LA Knight to lose. Let's jump right into the WWE title match. Cody defending against Solo. Who you got?
Got Cody as my 6.
Okay. I got him at 7.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, not really much disagreement for either of us here, but, yeah, I mean, just Solo, it's not going to win the WWE Championship at SummerSlam.
Right.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. I mean, unless some insane, terrible decision were to happen, there's no way. It would require like, you know, interference, obviously, and it's just not going to happen. I mean, that would be such bad booking. He shouldn't even be where he is right now in terms of like where he is on the card. I think he has any business being there. As we've said, he can't hold his own really in a storyline of this magnitude. He's not going to be the WWE champion.
Yeah, and I don't think this match should main event. I know it's going to, because we're probably going to get Roman following the match. But, I mean, just based off true story, I think Rhea and Liv should be the main event. But unfortunately, it'll be this match. I think there's no chance Solo's walking out with the title. To me, the big question here is, do we see Roman during the match or following the match?
Following. Yeah. He's too big to, yeah, it's following.
Yeah.
It needs to be like its own separate segment.
Agreed. I would imagine we're going to get a ref bump, because that's what we get in every big title match now, unfortunately. So I would imagine we're going to get the ref bump. We're going to get the bloodline, the current version of the bloodline. Maybe we see Owens, maybe we see Orton, maybe we see Jimmy Uso, you know, try to even the odds. But I do think when Roman comes, it will be the close of the show. I think that'll be probably the last thing we see, is Roman standing tall, probably over this version of the bloodline. Or maybe they scurry away and there's no physical, you know, nothing physical between Roman and the bloodline. But I would imagine, yeah, he's going to come after. Probably Cody beats Solo, and then the bloodline does some sort of beat down, and Roman makes the save.
Yeah.
Now, yep. are you expecting to see what exactly with Cody Roman? Are they going to do a handshake? Are they just going to look at each other? What's the dynamic going to be there?
Probably just a look of respect.
Yeah.
I don't think it. Nothing. It's not. No handshake or anything like that. I think Cody will kind of be out of the picture a little bit,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. You know, he'll be like laying somewhere watching, like exhausted.
Yeah. Do you think Cody will be surprised?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be a surprise thing. Not one of those things that, you know, he knew was coming.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think it'll come off as a surprise to him that Roman made the save, you know, although I don't think it's Roman specifically making the save for Cody Rhodes. I think it's just him fighting off the bloodline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It'll be at the end. Cody will give him the look where, you know, he's like holding his ribs and it's just winded. And
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, it's kind of sad that the main event of SummerSlam for the WWE Championship is this match, and a match that, you know, we have no doubt on who's going to win, you know, and it's just being overshadowed by a return that's going to happen following the match. I think that shows that they did a pretty bad job building the SummerSlam main event.
Yep.
Let's jump into Gunther challenging Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship. Who you got?
This is my one. I have Priest as my one. But again, I feel okay about it. I feel like it's better than a coin flip to me, but I've got him as my one.
Okay. I also have this match as my one, but I have Gunther winning, unfortunately. I think Priest should win. I think he's been really coming into his own as World Heavyweight Champion, and I think especially with him starting to lean towards being a babyface, I would like to see the babyface turn completely happen while champion. And I think it's just too early to put the title on Gunther, especially following the Intercontinental title reign that was 2 years long, just ended 4 months ago. You know, I'm okay taking some time, have a gap of Gunther not being champion. And so I think this would be a massive mistake by the WWE, actually, to put the title on Gunther. But unfortunately, I think that's a mistake they're going to make.
Yeah, I could see that, you know, as part of just the to go along with the Judgment Day shakeup. Like, Priest loses the belt. Rhea doesn't have the belt. They are, you know, kind of like on their own in their own little like alliance slash duo as faces who couldn't, Rhea can't regain the belt and Priest lost his, and they're kind of just like in it together. It just feels a little bit fast for Gunther to come right back and win the title. But I mean, I do have it as my one, but I think I'm still sticking with Priest.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it's very fast to put this title on Gunther already. And, I mean, like I said, people are warming up to Priest as World Heavyweight Champion. At first, people thought this title reign was going to be a dud. And then here we are a few months later, and, you know, people are starting to really like Priest in the run. I just think when you have somebody cooking like Priest is, you know, and he's starting to win over the crowd and he's starting to head towards face, don't mess with it. Don't take the title off him. I just think the timing is off on taking the title, and I also think the timing is off on giving it to Gunther. But I just, and another thing is, I mean, obviously Gunther's been calling him street trash and, you know, things like that. I would like to see Priest get his hand held high over Gunther, you know, and come from under that rather than reward the character of Gunther. I don't want to see it, but, you know, obviously Bash at Berlin's next, and to me it makes sense that they're going to have Gunther walk in as the World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah. So I was going to ask, what's making you think Gunther is going to win? Is that it?
That's a big part of it, yeah, is I just think, you know, they want to have him walk in as World Heavyweight Champion. And I also just, I think because the turn is coming with the Judgment Day, I think that might be a big part of why they kick Priest out is, you know, you don't have gold anymore. You're not valuable, you know, whereas the new version of the Bloodline will, or I'm sorry, the new version of the Judgment Day will be, you know, full of gold essentially because the tag champions are there. Liv will probably, you know, be in there with the women's championship. I could see them just kicking Priest to the curb because of that. And also, the story going on is him and Rhea are on the same page. So I could just see it being, you know, that kind of thing where him and Rhea are feuding with the Judgment Day. So, you know, let's go put the World Heavyweight title on somebody else because that story is big enough on its own. Because if Gunther loses here, I guess the question is, where does he go? You know, whereas if Priest loses, you can see the clear direction where he's going to go.
Yeah, that makes sense. I could also see it kind of being a thing, though, where, like, if Priest were to retain and it's still him and Rhea on their own after the Judgment Day breaks up, I could see it being, like, Priest has the gold and he's, like, a big brother to Rhea who's trying to get hers back and that sort of thing. So yeah. I can see that, too. Yeah, I'll stick with Priest as my one. I'm not going to change it, but...
Yeah, well, I hope you're right, and I hope I'm wrong.
That one could go either way, though, for sure. That's the toughest one to predict, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we both have it at our one for a reason. Last match on the card, CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, special guest ref. Who you got?
I got Punk as my five.
Five, okay. I actually have Drew at three.
Okay. And so we said, on the Raw review, I said that their segment made me more confident in who I thought was going to win. And you said the same thing, but we had it for opposite people. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I think it's just easier to like have Drew lose again. Like Punk's he's just so, I don't know. It's just like impossible to see momentum being killed with him. He's just so over and red hot all the time. It's tough, but,
mm-hmm.
Why do you pick Drew? Drew.
I think you kind of made the argument for me. I think that's it. Is Punk? You can't kill the momentum with him. I think if he loses, it doesn't hurt him at all. You know, his mouth is so loud that he can recover from it. And I think Drew has lost enough, and I think he's lost quite a bit because of Punk. So I kind of think it makes sense for Drew to get him here, especially given, I mean, if you're going to play into the rust aspect, you know, which I think they should. I mean, he hasn't had a one-on-one match, you know, in his whole return since he's been back to WWE, you know. He returned in November. He's wrestled one match, and it was a Royal Rumble. So, yeah. You know, I think Drew needs the win here. He's lost enough, and I think Seth is obviously going to play a role in the finish here, and I think they want to tell the Punk Seth story in the future. So I think Seth accidentally costing Punk now plants the seeds for that later, whereas I can't see that going the other way, because at WrestleMania this year we just had Drew Seth. I think that storyline's somewhat in the rear view. Obviously there's a little bit of a cloud of that in this story, in this match, but I think they want to set up Punk Drew in the future, or I'm sorry, Punk Seth in the future, and I think him costing him here would make the sense for that.
Yeah, and the good thing about the Seth dynamic is whoever you have lose the match, it can just be excused by Seth screwing them over during the match. Right. So it's like you can have one guy lose without making them look bad at all, because mm-hmm. you can just make it so it's not really their fault.
Yeah, right. Like, you're protected. You know, you're not losing clean here. So
right.
Which is interesting, because I mean, we're all expecting the Hell in a Cell to be the third match between these two. Obviously, the first one is now somewhat of a no disqualification match, as Seth has referenced during Raw. I'm curious what the second match will be out of the three. But yeah, I think since we're probably going to get three matches, each guy has to get a win at least here. And I think Drew winning now makes sense. And I think the bracelet is going to play into it here, and I think maybe Punk's anger, because I think Punk's anger is more than Drew's, honestly, even though Drew has more reason to be angry because he's been screwed so many times. But to me, it almost comes off like Punk has, you know, more building within him. So I think that's going to cost him.
Yeah, and you also get the advantage of the significant possibility of CM Punk just getting injured during the middle of the match, and then he has to eat a pin right away. So
yeah, right. So I'm not against Punk winning. Like, if Punk were to win, I wouldn't be upset. I just think the right move is to have Drew win.
Okay.
I just think he's got to stand tall over Punk for once. You know, like, for months we've been getting Punk laughing at him and making a mockery out of him. So I think it would benefit the story too if Drew could say, yeah, once we finally locked up, I won.
You want to just rank really quickly how excited you are for each match?
Yeah. I mean, my number one match I'm excited for is Punk Drew, just given, you know, Punk wrestling, the story's been hot. Then I would go into Rhea Liv, and then, you know, obviously that story's been on fire too. That's the match I think should main event the pay-per-view, the PLE. And then after that, I mean, they're mostly... I mean, Gunther Priest, I'm pretty excited for, because I think Priest is stepping up, and I think he's coming into his own, and I think it's a good showcase for him, especially if he gets the win. But then after that, I think they all kind of equal out, you know? Like, I don't think matches 4 through 7 on the card, any of them are really that much higher than the others.
Yeah, I would say Liv Rhea number 1, Drew Punk number 2, honestly, then probably Braun Sammy number 3, Priest Gunther number 4, Nia number 5, LA Knight number 6, and then Cody probably last.
Yeah.
So,
which again,
not to keep shitting on Cody, but yeah, not the most exciting storyline going on.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, and to quickly just run through our confidence points real quick again, I have Damian Priest winning as my 1, Bron Breakker beating Sami Zayn as my 2, LA Knight beating Logan Paul as my 3, Nia Jax beating Bayley as my 4, CM Punk beating Drew McIntyre as my 5, Cody Rhodes beating Solo Sikoa as my 6, and Liv Morgan beating Rhea Ripley as my 7.
Yeah, and then for me, I'll go 7-1. I have 7, Cody, 6, LA Knight, 5 Bron Breakker, 4 Liv, 3 Drew, 2 Nia, 1 Gunther. And I'm looking forward to defending my predictions championship against you.
Yep. And I'm looking forward to taking it from you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tag Teamers Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to follow, like, comment, subscribe, leave a review. We will be back tomorrow with our reactions from AEW Dynamite.